Carrot Top Podcast with myself, Daps. Guys, keep liking, subscribing, sharing, all of that good stuff. North London Derby. I said earlier on in this week. Oh, yeah, we're going to get right into it, by the way. Yeah. I said earlier on this week that I was scared when it came to this match. But, well, in the end, it looked like there was something I needed to be scared of. But, you know, going into the match, especially with, like, how close it is at the top, I was just like, oh my gosh, my heart is beating. As rubbish as I feel that Tottenham are, when it comes to these North London derbies, they always find something in them to pull a result out of nowhere. So, or a performance out of nowhere. But at the same time, I think it's really important that we actually take in just how good Arsenal are when approaching these matches, because I have so much PTSD when it comes to Arsenal, I sometimes forget just how good of a team we actually are. In the back of my mind, there's always that something's going to go wrong. Someone's going to mess up. You know, the other team's just going to play better. Arsenal's just not going to show up like they used to do when it comes to away performances against the big clubs. But, you know, we need to actually start remembering that, no, we are a good side. We are actually a team that control games, that dominate games and, you know, win games and gets results. And that's why two seasons running, we're in this position where it's like, we can still win the league. But, you know, with all that being said, we go into the game. I see the starting lineup. I'm like, yeah, I'm having this. That midfield three of Partey, Odegaard and Rice, I'm all over that. And I just felt like Maddison, Bentancur and Højbjerg, when I saw the starting lineup, I just felt like Arsenal midfield would just be too much for them. And do you know what? As the game started, I felt like Arsenal were incredibly wasteful, incredibly sloppy on the ball, and I wasn't liking it. And it just reminded me of, you know, the game at the Emirates where we let them back in through our sloppiness and stuff like that. But, you know, we get that first goal, set piece FC, shout out Chris De Capo. Yeah, we get the first goal. Højbjerg gets his own goal. And from there, I felt like, okay, we've got something to build on. And I always feel with Arsenal now that, as much as separately, I feel like, oh, something could go wrong. What I actually know is that we defend well. So as long as we got the clean sheet, I was okay with that. As long as we got the goal, I was hopeful knowing that we would get another one and that we would keep that clean sheet. The problem was they had two glorious chances from Romero and Son, which kept us on our toes. I do feel though, if I'm being honest, I do feel that the one on just before the Saka goal, Trossard clipped Kulusevski's heels. I could see why it wasn't given, but if it was given, I'd have no complaints. I'd have no complaints at all. And then Arsenal just go and counter, and I felt like it was a deadly counter from there. I'm just happy Havertz even got the pass right, because I could see it, and he got the pass right. And then Ben Davies against Saka, easy, light work, 2-0, celebrate in front of the crowd, cup your ears, because that's what we do at our rivals' ground. Do you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, Havertz, again, gets the third goal. 3-0, happy days. You're thinking to yourself, it's going to be a walk in the park now. We're going to get fours and fives. And you know what? It was so comfortable at 3-0. And then Raya, this moment of madness that I saw Raya do today, yeah? I don't even have the words to even... What was Raya thinking? The whole reason why that game was as close as it was, it is purely on Raya. We can talk about, you know, Declan Rice giving away the penalty, or the fact that we decided to sit deep after they scored effort. We can talk about all that if we like, but momentum in football is everything. And the momentum swung the moment Raya made that mistake. And I don't know where that mistake even came from. You're under no pressure, no nothing. You just couldn't sort your feet out. Just get rid. And, you know, try to be too clever, try to be a bit, you know, cocky and complacent. And that's what happened. And the moment it happened, I don't care if it's 3-1 at that point, I knew the rest of the game was going to go. If you go back and look at my tweets, I knew the moment it happened, it was going to be a tough day. I mean, a tough end of the fixture. But you know, we stood tall, we kept going. I think that in those moments, Partey, as tired as he looked at times, I feel like Partey was super necessary. I do want to big up Gabriel Martinelli, because when he came on, he put in a shift. Defensively, he put in a shift. He was an outlet as well. Like, he just did what was necessary to get it over the line, and to, you know, he sacrificed, you know, the glamorous parts of the game for the not so glamorous parts of the game. Reminded me of Man City when we put that performance in away from home, and him and Saka, the whole team just had to literally dig deep and just do the grunt work. And he was good. And, you know, when they got that penalty, I said from the get-go, that's a penalty. My only hope was that it was outside the box. Once I saw it was in the box, I was like, oh, it's a penalty. Can't believe the referee didn't give it at first. I think that was a bit of a tired swing from Declan Rice. But, boy, penalty 3-2. I never in a million years thought someone was going to miss that. And then, I could not relax. I'm telling you, when that final whistle happened, all I was thinking to myself was, Raya, you are so lucky. You have bus case of the, like, you have, I don't even know the words. You just got so lucky there. Because, and you know what the worst part is? I feel like Raya did that just to show how faultless he could be with the rest of his game. Because after that, he was coming in, catching everything, taking control, commanding his area, doing all the things you would want from a goalkeeper. But I just feel like that's the only way to come to any sort of, you know, sense with his mistake, is that he wanted to be the main man. He wanted to show everyone, oh no, this is the sort of keeper that I am. So, yeah, man, I'm happy Arsenal got that over the line. I think Havertz was really good today. I think that the job that Havertz does in this team when he plays up front is he might not get you, you know, 20 goals. And that's what Arsenal obviously need. Arsenal need a guy that's just going to get goals. But he will get enough goals to you know, win games. He will get you goals where... It's not just the goals, sorry. It's the performances as well. He puts in performances where he makes it rough for the defenders. He holds up play. He's good at being an outlet. He's just not as ruthless in front of goal as I would like him to be. But, you know, since the turn of the year, since he got pushed into, you know, that striker position, he's been really, really good. One of our better performers, if you ask me. And it's just always interesting why, you know, Arteta sometimes wants to go and push it. Even when he makes changes and starts him up front, he pushes him back into midfield. Like, that midfield is not for him. Let's just leave that alone this season. You know, we've experimented. It's not for him. It's not for him. Leave him up top. I think it was important for Saka. It was important for Saka to have the performance he had today in a big game like that. A goal and an assist. I think people have been talking crazy about Saka when he's one of the most effective players in world football right now. And I mean that. I'm going to stand on that and say Saka is one of the most effective players in football in the world right now. So when people talk crazy about him, yes, you can criticise when he's not, you know, when he hasn't played well, but some of the criticism, it just goes too far. And so to see him put that performance in today, he looked fresh, he looked ready, he looked like, okay, I'm going to get a goal today. He looked like, I'm going to make an impact today. He looked like his normal self, where he's just always ready to cause trouble. And Ben Davis had a bad day of him. Tottenham had a bad day of him in general. And, you know, he did well. Odegaard again, you know, he tired towards the last, you know, 10, 15. But up until that point, again, he was dictating play. He was getting on the ball, making things happen. And it was just a good performance. Up until, you know, Raya, of course. What I do want to talk about as well is that in my group chat, there's this thing about it's in Arsenal's hands. And the reason why I have to bring this to the podcast is because I need sense to be, you know, sense to win. Because how is it in Arsenal's hands when, you know, Man City are, you know, they got a game in hand? And their argument was, it's all about the points on the board at this moment. I would much rather have the points on the board, yes, but I wouldn't say it's in Arsenal's hands. How can it be in Arsenal's hands if Man City have a game in hand? And if they win their game in hand, they're top. Like, come on, let's be serious now. Let's be serious now. So yeah, you know, Tottenham, in terms of, it looks like they're going to end up finishing fourth now. In terms of, you know, where they go, I think it's actually been a good season for Tottenham. I feel like there are clear things that Ange Postecoglou needs to change in regards to the way they set up and the way they play at times, because it's not working. It works sometimes, but when you get to the games where, you know, you're coming up against teams who actually have real pace and can counter real quick, it's, you know, you're always just leaving yourself open and vulnerable, and you're going to lose games. So I feel like sometimes they have to learn how to be a bit more compact and not always so gung-ho, because that's just not the way to move when it comes to the Premier League. You're always going to get found out. So that's that. And then obviously the Man City game, I was just like, oh, come on, Nottingham Forest, do something. But it was never in doubt. Do you know what I mean? And when Chris Wood's having the sort of day he's had today, where there's like two or three times where he could have really done something, especially that one that's come across the box and he's miskicked it, and the one in the second half where he's come across the box and he didn't really get the connection that he probably would have, and it's been blocked on the line. When you're coming up against teams that, and they're having that sort of days, you just know it's not gonna, you know, it's not gonna go your way. So I think that Arsenal are probably going to come second. No, they will. Well, I hope that, you know, Man City slip up, but I can't see City slipping up. Let me see the fixtures. Okay, so, oh gosh, what am I doing? Oh, forget the fixtures. Forget them. But yeah, no. When I look at the fixtures, Arsenal obviously have Man United, which is going to be a very tough game. And then after that, you know, outside of the Man United game, I think they should get, you know, wins in their other two games, whoever they may be against. But I can't see City dropping points. I honestly just can't see them dropping points. So, yeah. That's my little roundup. I'm back tomorrow. Guys, let me know in the comments what I need to speak about. Guests are coming back from next week, I think. So, yeah. That's it from me, guys. I'm out. I know I said I was out, but I do want to quickly also big up Bradley Johnson. So, Bradley Johnson is a player who, I think he did, correct me if I'm wrong, Brad, when you hear this, I think he did 16, 17 years as a pro. And the lowest he went once he, you know, was a fully certified pro was League One, and that was probably last season. So I think we don't quite understand what it's like to stay at the top for that level. Anyone that's played any sort of level for 1 or 2 years understands just how hard it is. And Bradley did it for so many years. He did it, you know, at the highest of levels. And I'm fortunate enough to have been around him quite a bit, and I've seen how he dedicates himself to the craft, or how he dedicated himself to the craft, to football, to his sport, you know, even in with like eating habits. I'd be around him and it's like, it's time to eat, and he's having like some sort of protein shake or what, I don't know what it is, but you know, Brad, you've been a top professional. I think it's no coincidence that so many pros, older and younger, look up to you and see you as the model pro. And this is just me bigging you up and saying happy retirement. And obviously you're going to do the coaching thing after. I know if you're half as dedicated to that as you are to, or as you were to, you know, playing, you're going to be a top coach and one day top manager, if you ever wanted to go into that. But yeah, happy retirement. Big up, Brad. Every day. Bang, bang. Now I'm out.